Lack of playoff success over the last 8 seasons, what would a win on Monday mean to this organization?
You know, it's not about the organization or myself. It's about this collective. And quite frankly, most of these men don't care about the last whatever years that you mentioned. Most of them are new to us. And so that's where my focus is. I'm certainly not going to, you know, unpack my bags on the collective's bed, if you will. I'm excited about doing it and doing it this week with this collective.
Shelby Cassese, who used to work here and does an awesome job, miss her, on Mike Tomlin's playoff win drought. She asked him right to his face today. It's been a long time, and every fan who follows the team and is not really in love with the job you're doing brings it up almost daily. What's your take on it? And he tried to not take ownership or not want to like make it relevant for this game at all.
He didn't want to make it about him, and he told a fib there, even in that, in my opinion. He did say most of these guys are new, and basically I'm not going to unpack my bags on their bed. I think Aaron Rodgers, who is as new as it gets to this team, absolutely cares about trying to help end that. Not just for his own purposes, where if this is his last year, it would be a hell of a way to go out winning a playoff game, playing great down the stretch in the last game of the regular season, etc. I think he likes Mike enough as a person.
Yeah.
And there's enough of a bond there that he gets probably, I bet you he would say ticked off that Mike takes so much flack. Because you know Aaron Rodgers is aware of it.
Tomlin could have scored points with a better answer there. It would not at all wash away the sins of going this long without a playoff win. It's the longest drought post-merger for the Steelers to go this long without a playoff victory. There are 24 teams that have won playoff games more recently than them. So they are in the lowest quartile of the NFL as far as time spent without a playoff win. That's the company they're keeping. The Browns, Bengals, and Ravens have all won playoff games more recently than them.
I'm trying to think. It's just what? Jets, Raiders, Dolphins, and like one or two others.
Jets, Raiders, Dolphins, Bears 2010.
Right.
Broncos 2015. Panthers 2015, Cardinals 2015.
Not keeping great
company.
That's
the list. That's it right there. And three of those teams are in the playoffs and have a chance, if the Steelers lose, to fall off this list. Bears, Broncos, and Panthers, even though that would probably take a miracle.
And Raiders and Cardinals just fired their head coaches.
If he had just said, like, what would be the harm in him saying, I'm embarrassed by it?
Or I'm frustrated by it?
Yeah. If anything, we'd all say we share your pain, Mike.
I always say
we're right there with you, man. Thank you for acknowledging it. The first step in attacking a problem is admitting that you have one in the first place.
Yeah, I always think that.
Way to go. Thank you for saying the quiet part out loud.
He just refuses to give people. I don't even think it's because he doesn't want to give the media or the fans what they want to hear. I just honestly think he is wired to be so forward focused and ignorant of any past failings. Like, I just think that's how he views it, and how publicly and privately he probably talks about it.
How about if we asked him after the game, if after a loss and there was no game to preview and look forward to, would he admit embarrassment?
Like, if they
and
get
shame
beat,
then?
If they get beat by the Texans and it's not close, and
9 years.
And Shelby pipes right back in there with Mike. It's now 9 seasons without a playoff victory, and you haven't been really close to one. How does that make you
feel?
Does
he give one of those boilerplate? Well, I haven't really had much time to ponder that. I haven't been thinking about that.
I think that's kind of his usual. I think that's his usual, though. It would have been like, he would have been like, man, I'm still so close to it. I haven't had a chance to take a big picture view of it. I mean, he loves to point out that we look at the big picture. He'll even give you the conciliatory, I know why you're asking these questions, but that's not how I think. He's got like basically a stock answer for any kind of question of that ilk. I do think he is very well prepared. I'm sure Bert and the rest of the PR staff said, you're probably going to get asked about your playoff win drought. Make sure you know what you want to say about it. And he did.
Let's get back to the phones here and talk to Sean about Mike Tomlin. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Look, I think part of the reason why Tomlin is wired to look ahead and not behind is, you know, why he says his rearview mirror is so small, because the picture in it's disgusting. I mean, I think it's survival is the reason why he doesn't really want to acknowledge the past so much. And as far as like whether or not, you know, to keep him after this year, you know, based on a win and, you know, against Houston, look, I think he's done enough to lose his job. I mean, already. I mean, you know, let's use his own rubric for evaluation. You know, it's not about being active. It's about being productive. You know, he has not produced. He doesn't hire quality coaches. He hasn't produced quality coaches. He has never produced or developed a quarterback. I mean, the fact that he chases these veterans, I mean, you know, God bless Aaron Rodgers that he still has enough in the tank to be, you know, mostly great. But the fact that he's grabbing for straws. I mean, he can't take – is this the guy going forward? Like, even, I know it sounds ridiculous, but we can keep coming up with these extraordinary scenarios. Like, what if he wins a Super Bowl? Should he be fired? Well, what if Aaron Rodgers goes down? You know, what if we get to the Super Bowl and Aaron Rodgers goes down in the first play and Mason comes out and wins it? Do we sign Mason to a long-term, like, high, you know, high-value quarterback contract?
Somebody probably would. Somebody probably
would. Somebody would, yeah.
I mean – maybe, but you know, if you look at you know what he's done, is this the guy you want to enter the next era with? I mean, we're at the cusp, whether it's this year's draft coming up.
Sean, let me stop you right there. He's not really the guy I want to enter the next era with, just because he refuses to move on from this era. Like, he's never
exactly.
He has very famously never done what pretty much every team does at some point, which is preside over a group that bottoms out. Make some changes. In that case, it's draft picks, yes, and then
I agree.
Come back up.
I agree with that. But as far as this season goes, all right, the two things we hold against him are not winning a playoff game and not being able to get the quarterback thing right. I would ask you on the quarterback question for this season, did he get it right, yes or no? Sean?
You mean with Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
I mean, he relies on, but he doesn't coach a win. I mean, with Aaron Rodgers, yeah, we got lucky and we got Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think that's luck. I mean, I'll bash Tomlin, especially when he deserves it. But to me, like, you're really reaching here as a Tomlin hater detractor to try to somehow use Aaron Rodgers against him. That makes no sense to me. She's saying he's got to coach Aaron Rodgers to a win. What does that even mean?
I do think that their passing game, and Mike admitted it, is, in fact, I know their passing game is not like something that people who watch every team throughout the league will tell you is good. They rely disproportionately on short passes to running backs who then help them lead the league in yak.
Yeah, but I think the things downfield in the middle of the field got better as the season
they
went
did,
along.
But here's a
look at the Freiermuth and Thielen catches,
sure,
for example.
Here's
in this
a question:
last game.
Why does it take until it's getting kind of like to put up or shut up time for Rodgers to do that? Pony?
I agree with you on that. But I'm just happy that it happened, and it did happen in enough time for them to still rally and win the division.
If I suddenly see against a Texans team that makes almost everything difficult, but against whom you have to challenge them down the field, if I see Rodgers early in this game taking shots because he's actually getting protected and they're attacking the middle of the field, I'll take some of it back. But the fact of the matter remains, they only seem to do that when there's a gun to their head metaphorically and they have no other choice.
Listen to Starkey tomorrow to hear about his card of the week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Runs every Wednesday through Friday at 93.7thefan.com's contesting page. Maybe a Tyler Loop rookie card? Look at that.
He'll try to give
the
it to, he'll give it to the winner and the wind will blow it.
Man, Donnie got a weird call about Loop last night that completely derailed his show.
Was it our buddy Chuck in Uniontown who called and made the reference?
Absolutely.
No way, right?
Not.
Somebody accused
Come
him of
now.
It?
No. It was Chuck. It was a Chuck. It was not Chuck in Uniontown.
Okay, because somebody in the YouTube comments was saying Chuck, and there's a ongoing debate, like Chuck in Uniontown did that, and I thought Chuck would know that story, but he wouldn't bring it up on the air. He knows better. Yeah, not great.
No. And it was early in his show, and I could tell with Donnie, he's like, well, I have to attempt to try to do my show again, and this is not easy.
Got to start that bad boy up from the beginning. By the way, I think Crowley tried to get this going. I don't know how much traction it got. Bengals fans or Bills fans have famously donated to causes to like help out the Bengals when Andy Dalton got them into the playoffs that one year.
Yeah.
And they've continued, Bills fans, with that tradition of donating money to causes that players support, etc. I know Crowley tried to get one going to like the Johns Hopkins Children's Research Center, donations in Tyler Loop's name to try to put what is for him easily the biggest negative of his career into something of a positive. I don't know how much it got, though. I don't know how much like people grafted onto
that. I don't know either.
That's not a horrible idea. I, like a human level, I feel bad for Tyler Loop, but buddy, that's what they drafted you to do. Kind of unfortunate that is a very binary business.
So what would you do it in? The number of the length of the missed field goal, maybe?
I would probably, yeah, I'd say like
so 44 bucks.
Yeah, 44 bucks. I might do. I didn't go and actually click through it, but I would do that.
Here's Billy on the fan. Hello, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Hey, back to what Sean was saying before we took the little break there. I agree 100%. You know, when you look at these coaches in the NFL, a grading stick I would use is their coaching tree. And you look over the years, I mean,
yep.
Name a few good guys that have come out of Mike Tomlin's. You know, I don't think he has any branches.
There are none.
I know he's a player's coach.
There are none.
But is he a coach's coach?
No, he likes guys that he's known for a long time in football who are almost always, not that it, you can be an older coach and be really good. Andy Reid is really good. He's in his 60s. He hires older guys that he's familiar with and friendly with. And who also will let him do things as he wants to do them and never push back.
We've got to double check this, but somebody texted in and said the last time a coach won a division with double digit wins and got fired was Marty Schottenheimer with the San Diego Chargers. That's like more, that's got to be almost 20 years ago now. So that's.
I get that. But guys, come on. It's time.
He went 14-2 and got fired.
Great. Nope. Go out on a high note. It's time to get rid of it, Mike Tomlin. I mean, we've all said it. It's been, you can't just go to get a Hall of Fame quarterback in here for 1 year.
I know, but your point is about the coaching tree, which I agree with. Like, it is a piece of evidence that he's not a great coach or surrounding himself with other great coaches because nobody wants to pick coaches off his staff. He doesn't have a list of lieutenants that people view as head coach caliber, which usually means they're good coaches to begin with. That's true. But you're saying it's time. I mean, if they won playoff games, you'd still feel that way?
I kind of do because of the past. I mean, I'm a season ticket holder. We go down there. Look, you beat Cleveland 2 weeks ago. It's a different conversation. That's a must win in that game in my eyes.
But it ended up not being. But it ended up not being a must win because the next week was a must win, and they won the real must win. We were there. It sucked. It really made me angry. It was one of the worst losses of the Tomlin era, given what was at stake. He followed it up with one of his best wins. Anybody want to argue that last one?
No,
it's
but
one of his better wins as a head coach.
But he doesn't get the afterglow from that win that has carried through this narrative that, hey, he's kind of done enough unless they get completely humiliated, that he should be back on the job. If he just does what he was supposed to do the week before, what I think most people assume they should get done around the league, he doesn't have that afterglow because that game isn't that game. It's played at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and it's a complete afterthought.
I think one of the hangups here is I just have a hard time firing a head coach when he wins his division and at the end of the day is the best team in his division. When they lost in 2020, they weren't the best team in the AFC North because the Browns beat them in the only game that mattered. They were the best team in the North this season. They won some good games. They lost a couple of awful games to the Bengals and Browns.
The reason they were the best team in the North is because of all the teams in the North, well, of the three teams that matter, I don't even count the Browns. Of the three teams that contend more often than they do not, they are the one that is least based around having a quarterback that's elite that carries the mail for everybody else. And that is, I think, both to his small credit but to his greater detriment.
But that shouldn't be the case with the Ravens when the football Cognoscenti said before the season that they had the best record in the NFL. It wasn't all Lamar-based. It was look at their defense. Look at the guys they brought in. Look at Derrick Henry. Look at their offensive line. Look at the weapons they have. They were, according to the odds makers, the pick to win the Super Bowl. Better odds than Kansas City and Philadelphia going in the year. That wasn't strictly Lamar-based.
It's majority Lamar-based, though. There's no doubt. Well, all those other things like are nice, but they don't mean nearly as much if you don't have like an elite quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I wouldn't say that the Ravens were set up this year to be a team that was like altogether quarterback-dependent like the Bills. In fact, I think we have proof that they're not. They beat two playoff teams without Lamar. They scored 30-plus points in two games against the Bears and Packers and beat both of those teams without him. So isn't that proof that they're more than just a quarterback team there?
I mean, they still went 8-9.
No, but I'm saying in the games they didn't have him, they beat two really good teams. They held the Rams under 20 points.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they still lost by two touchdowns.
Yeah, I know that.
I mean,
but
I don't really care about holding the team down.
But their defense did a good job against the number one scoring offense in the NFL this season.
I mean, I think their defense played six or whatever very bad games and then played mostly good football down the stretch until the Steelers got to them to a pretty good degree. But I'm just saying, like, the best teams in the league typically are built around a very high-level quarterback. And while it's nice that Mike has managed to figure out a way to win 10 games without doing that, that also puts a very hard ceiling on what they're capable of.
Ben is on the fan. Hello, Ben.
Hey.
Hey.
I think that Mulsey pretty much just said what I was going to say. You know, we're always trying to figure out, get rid of Mike, keep Mike. But some coaches can push a team beyond the quarterback's ability. I mean, look at Pete Carroll with Geno Smith, Shanahan with Jimmy G spot, Reed with Smith. Peyton doing it right now with Nick.
I mean, Pete Carroll just had the worst record in the NFL with Geno Smith this year.
I didn't talk about him with Geno Smith this year. I thought where he was in Seattle with Geno Smith.
But then he had Geno Smith again and was the worst team in the NFL this year.
That's the Raiders, bro.
You need to specify Seattle Geno Smith when you do that next time because you really threw both of us for a loop there.
All right. Okay. Well, still, I think Tomlin's going to be as good as his quarterback. We can go whatever the middle of the schedule is now. What is it? 9-9 or whatever the record, the 17 games. Yeah, 9-8, 10-7, whatever. We can do that year in and year out until we get a lottery ticket and get a lucky quarterback who can elevate the team, but we're just sitting around waiting for that to happen.
Let me try to answer it this way. I don't think Mike is somebody that I trust to draft and develop a quarterback. And I would say that that's probably why, more than any other reason, I'm pessimistic about his long-term future as Steelers head coach. But there's not a quarterback to draft and develop this year. We're not going into a draft based on where they finish this season and who's available, where I'm thinking they're going to get that guy, and now it's going to be up to Mike to mold him. That's really not on the table right now.
The closest thing they would have realistically this offseason to getting a player like that
is
signing Malik Willis and then Mike getting to right the wrong of actually picking the worst possible
guy.
And
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I don't mind the idea of Malik Willis in Arthur Smith's offense.
Well, neither do I, because Arthur Smith's offense, I think, is at its most dangerous when the quarterback actually can take off and move a little.
Certainly awesome to have DK back. But we're not going to exhale and think that DK automatically with his presence is going to be a difference or the difference. Football is the ultimate team game. It's going to require great effort from all parties involved, but certainly excited about doing it with him.
Donnie's Tomlin tidbit. Mike talked for 30 plus minutes today. Donnie picked something out that appealed to him as the ultimate football guy, as a guy who went through the range of emotions live at Acrisure. Sunday night, the ecstasy of the win, the agony of defeat, all rolled into one there in the last 5 minutes of that football game.
Something your fiance documented photographically
and sent
to me and said, I thought you'd get a kick out of Donnie living and dying with every
She was sending like voyeur video of you.
No, just pictures of him with like his
head. I had the head in the hands after the likely catch.
The other one was just like him staring very focused. I also respect that Sarah knew enough to know that you and I were doing live TV and therefore we're still awake. I mean, she's sending me texts at like 12:55 at night going, I thought you'd enjoy these these candid shots of Donnie losing his mind.
What time did you get home from the game on Monday or Sunday? I guess it would have been Monday by then probably, right?
Honestly, it timed out for us pretty well. I mean, we were both happy because I parked at the casino, had the show there pregame, and we probably hit the casino after the game around, had to be close to midnight.
Is that place buzzing?
Yeah, I mean, and I remember like the whole like walk out of the stadium, I remember looking at my phone and it was 11:45 and we're still on the rotunda. So probably not to the casino until midnight. We got home by like 12:50. I mean, I think that's a pretty...
It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, to get out of that garage, and you could just tell that people were in such good vibes after that because I was... The way I was parked in the casino garage, I kind of had to make a pretty narrow turn. I was on 7th floor, and this guy, like, I'm going to let him go, and he puts his window down. He's just like, hey, man, like, complete that whole turn. I'll block this whole side off. Get out of here, and I'll follow you right out of here.
That's if they lose
an all-time move. Yeah, if that field goal goes in, that's never happened.
Yeah, you're getting the middle finger.
I'm in that garage until 1 a.m.
I used to park on the 8th floor for Kenny. Like, I thought it was like a luck thing.
Please tell me you're kidding. Don't. But, you couldn't waterboard me and get me to admit something like that in public.
Because of the way things ended so horribly here, I'm back on the 7th floor for Ben.
Why don't you go 6th for Bubby?
Can you park on the 6th floor?
Yeah, 6th is the lowest that I think if you're a non-member you can park at.
No, I go to 7.
Well, now you should park on 8 for Rogers.
Yeah, maybe I should actually. I can't start
now. If that casino had a 15, well, because if
you're going late for that,
if you're going 8-7, then you're getting 15, which is Kenny's current number with the Raiders. You can't do that. I can't believe you just admitted that.
You didn't actually do that.
Yes,
that's horrifying.
True. I used to park on 8.
Don't say that stuff out loud.
I just did.
God, Kenny got turned into a bobblehead on that corner blitz in there.
Got benched.
Oh my God. Anyway, Donnie.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had Jack pull up the clip about DK Metcalf because that's going to be a big storyline as this week goes on. The Steelers do get DK Metcalf back. They survived the suspension, and now they have their offense at full strength, having the man back, and they had to have some dudes that had already 1 foot in the retirement home step up big on Sunday night. But they do get Metcalf back here.
You know what I will admit about, and I thought Collinsworth made a very good point that I didn't think about or notice when it happened live. That ball to Thielen was obviously probably the best pure throw of Rodgers' whole year.
I still have no clue, by the way, what the safety was doing on that play. If you go back and watch that, he came in like it was a run play, but then he never got back and was just like paralyzed in this no man's land. So there was no threat when Rodgers threw that
I think that's a classic
of somebody coming in to either like pick that ball off or bat that ball
down.
I think
that's a classic. If Kyle Hamilton's out there, how does that play look? We went over this yesterday, but Collinsworth brought this up, man, and I got to give him credit because I hadn't thought of it. And it's definitely something Roman Wilson, who's just desperate to try to make anybody, if he even gets a helmet, like impress them with something. Thielen didn't put his hands up for that ball. And he had Humphrey on him, and Humphrey's a beast still sometimes.
Really?
Sometimes.
I think he kind of sucks.
Sometimes. Well, like, and also punching the ball out and playing the ball at the catch point. I think Humphrey's always been pretty good at that. He's slowed down now, I'll admit. Thielen's hands don't go up until that ball is maybe like 2 feet away from him. And Humphrey is at least savvy enough that he's watching the hands probably. And if it's like a guy putting his, look, hey, I'm open, look. He's probably trying to get his arm up just reflexively. So, like, if you're going to give me that in the context of a win where Thielen puts his hands up about a split second before and he's a sure-handed enough player to catch it, I'll live with it. You better be making 3 or 4 of those kinds of plays to the old guys per game, though.
Donnie,
the AARP to Geritol ball.
Do you feel like you've shamed Ray Fittipaldo into going back to Thielen and not sticking with Adam Thielen?
Yeah, but I think Joe and I did the right thing there because that's how you say his name. It's Thielen.
Was he? Oh, yeah, that's right, because he was.
I love Ray, one of the nicest guys ever, but yeah, he kept saying.
He was afflicted with Jim Tomey disease.
Yeah, he went Thielen for two straight weeks, and Joe and I were like, we got to say something here. Like, the guy's been in the league for 15 years.
The announcers haven't stopped Freiermuth. No one says Muth.
Yeah, and everybody says his last name wrong, but he just doesn't care. I did that interview with him over the summer, and he
said it again.
He said Muth.
It is kind of a pain in the ass to say Freiermuth. That's a lot of syllables, and then you got to hit that.
I think that's why. I can be lazy and say Freiermuth.
Is Mueller or Muller easier to say? The right,
Mueller's
the way,
easier.
The way we say it, but no, everyone else goes Mueller. Hey, Mueller.
Yeah.
I love when I do interviews, and people introduce me and say, what half of Pony and Mueller?
Oh, yeah.
And I will go to great pains to correct them just to make them feel bad.
Do you know what the irony is? I've been brought, this is also a sign of like, is this show or host prepared usually? Like, it's a direct correlation between how good is the interview about to be on their end, not on my end. I always try to give my best. If I go on in a city where I've never been on before, I went on in Milwaukee multiple times during the U.S. Open on the Mason Crosby show. No point Mason Crosby was hosting.
They needed U.S. Open analysis
they
in want, Milwaukee?
No, it was, they wanted to talk Rodgers because that was when he had finally announced, you know.
Yeah,
at
all right, that makes
time.
More sense.
But then they were asking me U.S. Open stuff too. Mason Crosby show, Mason Crosby not hosting either time. The guy said 97.3 the fan, I think, both times.
Jeez.
And he called me Chris Mueller both times. And I just like...
And you never stopped to correct him,
no,
huh?
No, I like didn't have the heart to because like he was so enthusiastic and like upbeat. I was like, man, I can't rug pull this guy right now.
You could have just no-sold and said, that's not me. I'm completely misidentified.
I think that Metcalf... I think two things need to happen for Metcalf to get completely in the clear here. I think they either need to win... Or I think he needs to have a big game or both. If they lose and he has a quiet game, I don't think all is forgiven.
You know what he really cannot afford to do that he does a pretty fair amount for a good receiver?
Drop.
Yup.
Yeah, dropsies.
Because also that secondary, especially Stingley, who's as advertised, he's good enough, I think, to take Metcalf completely out of the game. Mm-hmm. I know he's not physically as big, but
well,
he
Alec
plays
Pierce
big.
Went off against him until the refs decided to take him out of the game on Sunday.
I understand that. I also think that Houston was like half paying attention because they were scoreboard watching Jacksonville. So I don't think that was the best you're going to see of Houston or even close to it. Man, they're going to have so few opportunities that when they take deep shots, like quality opportunities, they've got to pay him off. If he gets at all open and drops one like 30 yards down the field, people here are going to freak out, and rightfully so.
Some boo birds, maybe.
I
don't think so.
I don't think I asked you this yesterday, though. Early on the first touchdown, you could on the radio, you could hear, because I was driving in to get down to TV during when the game was happening, and so I had to rewatch the first like drive for the Ravens, Don. After that busted coverage in TD, you could hear boos. How loud were the boos in the stadium?
They also have the thing where all of the Ravens fans do the thing for Tyler Loop. So you heard some Ravens fans every time he made a kick, which sounded like boos, because they would all go, Loo.
Yeah, how'd that sound in the last one? Loo, oh my God!
Yeah, it looks like that one.
I can't
silent.
Believe that the guy...
But I know sometimes those got misconstrued for boos, because I had other friends texting me like, man, already booing. And I'm like, no, like that...
So Donnie had the guy who caught the Loop missed field goal on his show last night. The Steelers in Acrisure Stadium let him keep the ball. I don't know the authentication process with that. I don't know like how he would be able to prove to them like that it's clearly a ball that was used in that game.
Yeah.
I don't know necessarily how he would be able to prove that it was the ball from that play to make sure that, you know, if he put it up for auction that people would know that that was the ball for sure.
Yeah.
But if he ever did that, I think there's a chance he would get a lot of money for that thing. Because it's one of
Define a lot.
I think thousands.
Like we talking 20,000?
I don't know. It depends. If the team went on a run and that was like the starting point from it,
yeah,
I think it would get a lot. I think if the Immaculate Extension ball went up for auction, it would get thousands of dollars because there's only one of them. You know,
the
only ball or the only jersey or the only cleat that was used in this situation. Those things are gold for collectors.
Wait, the Immaculate Reception ball.
Yeah. I think it's now at Nemecolon.
How much did that go for?
A lot. But it wasn't up for auction, I think.
somebody just
eventually the guy that had it for a long time
just sold it directly.
Sold it to the Hardy family, and now it's at he got it for his 100th birthday.
Probably several hundred thousand dollars.
Well, that's a good question.
Joe Hardy, I believe, passed on the morning of his 100th birthday.
Yeah.
What a, that's a hell of a way, though, just even 100.
Yeah, that's almost a flex.
By the way,
you made it to 100.
By the way, just a follow-up on something unrelated. So remember how we had a good laugh yesterday about how Steelers-Ravens dual citizen Rod Woodson on the call, color call in Baltimore, like yelped like a man who felt like this, like his real team.
He was like Joe Block in that Colorado series.
Correct.
Luke's kick is on the way. He missed it. It is no good.
He missed it. A guy named Zach has tweeted me because I just said there's no way it wasn't a case of Rod forgetting who he was actually working for. He said, my cousin has met Mr. Woodson and said that when asked about what organization treated him or treats him better as a player and retired player, he mentioned the Ravens treat him way better, hands down. It's not even close, he said.
I mean, isn't Exhibit A for that? He's the Ravens color guy and not the Steelers color guy.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying, like, the retired player.
And sadly, because of deaths in the Steelers broadcasting family, those jobs have been open, and he hasn't gotten that job. So, but it sounded like the Steelers, the black and gold in his veins, came out in that call.
I know, it's just very funny.
He missed it.
Oh, I got a lot of people. I thought our buddy, like Joey Smeltzer, America's sweetheart, would come out of the woodwork with this. I agree with it. In the like letter of the law, he did step all over the call. That's what a lot of people were mad about.
Yeah,
that he stepped on the Jerry Sandusky call.
That was a comment I was going to make. If I was Jerry there, I wouldn't be thrilled with that final call of the season, even in a loss. Like, hey, pal, it's my job to let the people know he missed the kick.
I'm with you on that.
God, that's got to be tough.
I'm actually 100% with you on that.
But I think the problem is a lot of color analysts do that, like especially former – most of them are all former players.
Because they just get like so excited.
Yeah, like the Browns guy is not. Nathan, Zagura, right? Yeah. He's not a former player. But if you're a former player, I think most of the time you get so into what you're doing and like – I'll give Max Starks credit. They showed the Steelers booth for that, like with him and Rob King. And Rob King calls it. And you can see Max, like, I think knows it's no good before Rob even like is able to definitively glean that. And Max shuts up. He doesn't say a word.
It's not the length. It's the girth.
Yeah. That was just saved in there, too.
Just because?